Isn't that a very nice way of being, to be having compassion to your family members? And at this stage, that's when Krishna says, oh, that is a small vision you have, you know. And he brings out that, you know, since time immemorial, yes, we have all been here, existed. Me and all these kings, we have always existed and always will exist. Never will there be a time when any of us will cease to be. So he's telling Arjuna, neither me nor you nor all these kings will ever perish. We have always been there, we are there, and we always will be there. So there's no need of this lamentation. This is a small vision you have, to be considering the present body and the present ending of the body as the end of the individual, the end of the soul. So this is basically the point of that we are not the body but the spirit soul. Krishna uses the example of he says, "Dehinosmin yata dehe komram yovanam jara tata dehantara prapti dhirastatra namuyati." As the embodied soul continuously passes from boyhood to youth to old age, the soul similarly passes through another body at death. So a sober person is not bewildered by such a change. He says, everyone has this experience of having been a boy, become youth, and etc., adult, and then dwindling. These stages are, same thing, but just the point is that we don't remember, right? If we change the bodies. So, same way as we change a jacket, the same way we change bodies. The soul is not annihilated in no circumstance. Not by water, air, fire, weapons, nothing can destroy the soul. So the lamentation is unnecessary. Na jayate namrite vakadachin nayam butva beta vanabuya. Yeah, so he says, you know, no ways that the soul can be killed. Then, after mentioning this, it's quite later that he mentions this point of surrender, that this knowledge, what he's about to give, is secret and is joyfully performed. And so basically, giving a solution to Arjuna's problem and an awakening in vision. So, let me see where we left off.
To bring it to that place,
Krishna is, Arjuna says, I am a soul surrendered unto you, please instruct me. So he, at some point, he inquires his faith. So this is trying to summarize quickly to get to the point of this verse. But he's basically making himself, he's fully convinced about Krishna's ability to help him. And he says, I'm not just your friend, I am your disciple. And so therefore, please help me. You know, I'm really helpless in this situation. And so Krishna reciprocates in this way. And here he's mentioning how, because you are my very dear friend, that's why I will impart this knowledge unto you. And Yeah. So there's different levels of knowledge. We heard about that the body is not different from the soul, and these are basically basic about the creation of this world, how this world works. That's what Krishna is explaining with that, and he's also explaining karma, reincarnation. So those are like fundamental aspects from which the understanding of what to do, what's our relationship, what's our mission here, and what to do, we can understand from this we can explain, having had the basis of who you are, and etc. So now he's speaking about you're my very dear friend. Now, what is a friend? Earlier he talks about, he uses the term anasuyave, and that means non-envious, right? So he defines non-envious as being one of the characteristics of being a friend. And in some places we hear about how that's a prerequisite for gaining understanding of pure knowledge. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada says, yes, that everyone should make use of this literature. Not only it's not only meant for Arjuna, it's also meant for all of us. And we could in many ways find ourselves in a similar situation as Arjuna, where we are lacking a proper vision on what to do, so reading the Bhagavad Gita can make us understand what to do and get the proper vision of this, who we are, what the world is, how the world is, and what we should do. So he also mentions how it's not understood by anybody, because Krishna also says it's my dear friend, and as I mentioned, non-enviousness is a prerequisite. Enviousness in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the book we studied in the morning, what I'm reading at present, I came across a method of, there's different places where different solutions for different problems are mentioned, but enviousness is dealt with in the for a bit in the 8th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, where it is stated that enviousness comes from, so Srimad Bhagavatam there, they were saying basically the problem is lust and anger, and anger, where does anger come from? Anger comes from envy, and envy, where does envy come from? Envy comes from sense gratification, according to the Srimad Bhagavatam. So sense gratification, basically where we are utilizing our God-given body, as they say, not for our own purposes, and not for the purpose of what we're made for. So like a tree, or like the stomach, let's say, like the hand, if the hand, part of this body, is trying to enjoy on his own, then let's say the hand would decide, I'm not going to feed this food to the mouth, I'm just want to have it on my own, He will slowly get weak, this hand, and he'll not feel satisfaction, he'll not feel happiness. So at the mall, since always, some people have attempted to eat food with just the hand without giving it to the mouth. And since time immemorial, also then people have felt incomplete, unsatisfied, unhappy, in fact. And this happiness comes from when we utilize the hand to feed the mouth and then get energized at the same time. Similarly, the example of the tree, if we would, let's say, water the leaves, the leaves will wither and die. But if you water the roots, then the leaves will get flourished and energized. So similarly, if we give our energy to our sense gratification, would mean to us. Then we are envious, and then many problems come from enviousness. It's one of the difficulties. We are hampered in any area of life in envy. Envy is a painful situation where you do things you don't expect. At this present time, it is said that we have the good and the bad within us. Sometimes we try to divide countries or people, but really in this time period, the good and the bad is simply within us, and we gotta try and choose to feed the right dog. They're fighting, let's say. Somebody made an example of two dogs, and so you gotta feed the and then they get stronger, the good dog, then he can win over the other. So they're fighting for supremacy, both the demonic and the good-natured within us. So so this non-enviousness, how is that achieved? And how is now not having sense gratification achieved? How is diminishing our sense gratification, how do we do that? Well, there's different answers to that. One commonly we speak of, Gita speaks about a higher taste. To leave something else, we need to taste something better, like a child. If you want to pull the toy out of the child's hand, you got to give him something else, a lollipop or some ice cream, or deviate him from something else so that he will let go of your car keys or your cell phone if you need it. So similarly, if we have a higher taste, then we can do that. And it's not only higher taste, because we are here not just on the basis of higher taste. Sometimes we also gotta work at it with determination. So back to Srimad Bhagavatam, what Srimad Bhagavatam prescribes for sense gratification, or to stop our lusty desires, or stop desiring for being the enjoyer, because that's what we do. We contemplate on, we hanker and lament. That's the mind's activities, going hankering in the future, thinking or lamenting about the past, and we want to basically, instead of hankering and lamenting, we want to make a plan with determination, and then be in the present, in terms of the mind, to diminish this propensity of sense gratification, and then become happy. So how I took this text from the Srimad Bhagavatam, saying this, as like making a plan, really. It's, in other words, Srimad Bhagavatam suggests we make a plan. Like on a day you fast, we sometimes fast once a twice a month, every 21 days, right? We fast from grains. And sometimes we also fast entirely. So if we're not sure about fasting, it's a difficult task. We would be going to hesitate and then maybe eat something, or so it's very difficult to fast if we are not sure, about what we're gonna do. We don't have determination. Similarly, for example, if we, let's say, we're not sure if we're gonna wake up tomorrow morning, then it doesn't really happen, Only if you're with determination, then it happens. So basically, how to stop this sense gratification is with determination and with planning. Then we can achieve to stop this sense gratification. So, that will help to plan and to find higher taste. And then we can diminish trying to enjoy ourselves and try to serve God, and in this way become more happy, more satisfied. At the end of the day, be more satisfied. And so that's our goal a bit, to become happy. Quite simple. So is there any comments, questions, remarks? Yeah, this plan of determination and of diminishing sense gratification can only be done with others like this, similar-minded, and with higher taste, as he's mentioning. So that's why we have such centers where we gather similar-minded people to achieve such goals. And we chant, dance, and feast in the meanwhile. In the process. But we also have the other side where we, try and follow some rules and try and maintain some principles which enable us to access mental states, proper understanding, as here is mentioned. And that's why we keep in association, because like I couldn't do this without friends in this similar situation position. And association is a big point. Anything else you want to say? Yes. Bhagavad Gita ki?
Ging het ook weer? Welk knopje is het nou?
Nou, dat is, je moet hem eerst even stopzetten.